You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On College Football. I'm your host, Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn, and also hosted by the one and only Isaiah Hull with Locked On Wolverines. My friend, how are you?
I am living the dream that is the GOAT.
Yeah.
I'm basking in his glory. I am sorry that he is no longer with your New England Patriots.
That's okay. That's
but
all right.
It kind of works out for me because Tampa Bay is one of my teams. So I'm basking in the greatness that is the GOAT, and I'm swatting away the haters.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
doing. I wore a Tampa Bay jersey, which is funny. My mother loves Tom Brady. She's like, I'm going to support him. Like, I was still mad at the beginning of the season, but she ordered a Tampa Brady jersey at the start of the season, and then they ended up sending her an extra jersey that she did not pay for. It was from, like, the Chinese place that you can order, and it took forever to get here. But when it did, they had an extra one that was my size. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's a sign. And so, you know, I wore that and whatever, and I got hated for it, but it's fine. Whatever.
No,
I think it's crazy that Michigan now leads the way with Super Bowl MVPs, largely due to Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's all Tom Brady and one Desmond Howard one in there.
Okay, his, I was wondering if the other one was him. Okay, gotcha.
It would have been him or Charles, right? Like Charles Woodson. So, yeah, it's I mean, what Brady's done is nothing short of incredible. And it's really funny living in this region because the Michigan State is so strong up here. I mean, when I say so strong, I mean that kind of in a Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia sort of way. Like, they say they're really strong, but you haven't seen it. But at the same time, they really love to hate Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like, they can't get over it. They aren't like, I know there's still like a lot of Brady haters out there, but they're a different breed because they will never be like, you know what? If you can't beat him, join him. You know, I'm that way with, and I know you're going to hate me saying this. Like, I'm that way with Nick Saban, right? Like,
it's hard not to, though, at some point.
At some point, you're just like, I'm witnessing greatness. I have to appreciate this. Like, I love it.
The frustrating thing, and the reason, of course, I don't hate you for it, but the frustrating thing is like, the people that I'm with living in Auburn or 10 minutes outside of Auburn is Auburn fans want to reach that level overnight. And I'm like, what are you doing? Stop it. This is not going to happen.
Well, that's certainly the other side of the here in Michigan, because that's how Michigan people feel about Ohio State.
Yeah.
Is that it's this whole like, if we can't beat Ohio State right away, and I know it's been a long time, but it's like, beat them now. And it's like, you realize that that's, no one's doing that, right? Like, no one in the Big Ten is just beating them now. Usually when they lose, it's some kind of fluke loss. I mean, even Penn State in 2016 was a fluke loss for Ohio State. But to my point about Brady, it's just, it's hilarious though, because like sports radio, they're the big show up here in the Detroit market, is hosted by two Spartan alums. And it was so predictable. Like, during the Super Bowl, after that first half, when after the first half, I'm like, there's no way that, you know, the defense is too good. Brady was so perfect in the first half.
Yeah.
This game's done. Me and my roommate were talking about it, and we're like, you know what they're going to say tomorrow. They're going to put it all on the defense, say Brady did nothing, and completely ignore what he did in the first half.
Yes.
B, what he did against the fact that he had, again, in a really good first half against Green Bay. Bad second half, but great first half.
Right.
He was a big part of that. And that he also beat the Saints on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they, you know, they try to find a way to be like, listen, I'm telling you, he's not even that good. And it's like, what do you mean he's not even that good? Like, well, they didn't appreciate him at Michigan. Listen, nobody appreciated him. He wasn't in the sixth round of the NFL draft. Like, he just wasn't that thing. Well, at Michigan, they didn't even want him to play. He started for 2 years. He was a team captain.
Won an Orange Bowl against Alabama.
Yep, exactly.
But the stat that I saw that was crazy with Michigan leading the way with 6 Super Bowl MVPs, but in the same tweet, it's like in the same span, that's like twice as many times as Michigan's beaten Ohio State. Is that real?
Yeah. In that time frame, yeah, because they've only...
That would have been since 01, I guess.
Well, if you're saying, like, with all of the MVPs, if you include Desmond Howard, it's more because, yeah. Well, when did Desmond Howard do it?
Let's look.
But Michigan's only beaten Ohio State 2011 and 2003. Mm-hmm. 2003 was the last time that it was like real, like both teams were relevant and they did it. But and it that kind of shows what Jim Tressel was able to do, kind of turning around the rivalry, because Michigan against John Cooper was what was it? I normally know this stat off the top of my head, and for some reason I'm blanking on it.
Sure.
But John, like 2-10-1 against Michigan, I believe is what it was, 2-10-1. And then Tressel came and things turned around in a big, big hurry. And
so he was in 97 when he got his.
So yeah, they won in 97. They lost in 98. They won in 99. They lost, I think, in 2000. No, I think they won in 2000.
I didn't realize the rivalry was that lopsided.
Yeah, this rivalry always tends to be really lopsided. This is just a lot longer than it normally goes, because it usually is like Ohio State was controlling the rivalry until Bo Schembechler showed up. Bo Schembechler showed up. You had the 10-year war. Through the Bo Schembechler era, Michigan dominated. Even beyond that, Michigan basically dominated, for the most part, Ohio State from Bo Schembechler's arrival in 1969. Until Jim arrived in 2001. And there was, you know, some middling success here and there. They might get one or two or whatever. But at the same time, for the most part, it was just a little bit here and there. So it's always kind of been a very lopsided rivalry. So I think it's funny when it gets diminished and people say that, Ohio State wins. It's barely even a rivalry. No, this is what it's always been. It's always kind of been. Streaky. There was only really one era, and it was from 1969 to 1978, where it was pretty much a dead heat.
Yeah,
and that was the 10-year war. But from 1969 to 1978, I mean, they were trading back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. Bo arrives in Ann Arbor. Michigan wins. Next year, Ohio State. Next year, Michigan. Next year, Ohio State. Next year, tie. 2 years of Ohio State, 3 years of Michigan. So really from 1976 until Tressel's arrival, so 2000, you only have, I'm looking right now, 7 Ohio State wins in that like 20-year time frame. So it's kind of similar, except for Ohio State would get in like one every 5 years or so.
Sure. Yeah.
They had 2 in a row from 81 and 82. But I mean, for the most part, it's been a very, very lopsided rivalry throughout time.
You're listening to Locked On College Football. Today's show brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. With the ever increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning when you can just pull out your phone, go to rockauto.com, and order all the parts that you need at a significantly, significantly lower price. rockauto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car, your truck, or your SUV. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. That's at rockauto.com. Moving forward, Isaiah, one thing I want to talk about is just kind of the state of college football as a whole. And we touched on this a little bit when we did our rankings, which got pooped on a ton, by the way, which was expected, right? We saw that coming, oh, right?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Right. Well, especially because I completely dismissed Iowa State because I'm like, their guys that are coming back are completely gone, right? Not the case.
Yeah, we got some hate for like not putting North Carolina in there as well, which I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if they're a top 10 team, but we'll see. We'll see. If you disagree, hate on us. It's fine.
I want to put them in there. Just kind of like I want to put Miami in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to put Miami up a lot higher all the time, but prove it at some point.
Right. But as far as the state of college football, and you know, we were talking about one of the teams involved, or kind of two of the teams that I want to talk about. Like, looking back at signing day being last week, and now with the constant measuring of where you are against other teams in your conference and other teams on your schedule, the race for second in the conference, sure, it belongs to Georgia right now when you look at the SEC, but the gap between Alabama and everyone else is still so wide. And I know people want to hype up Georgia, and they should. We hyped them up last week. We put them at number one. And then hyping up Texas A&M, LSU's kind of sliding back a little bit. But you look at the ACC, and it's Clemson, and then a Grand Canyon-sized gap between them and whoever number two is. And then you look at the Big Ten, and I feel like it's a similar situation where it's like it's Ohio State, but there's other schools that folks want to hype up, like a Texas A&M, similar situation. But like in reality, I just don't feel like anybody's actually close.
I agree with you. And that's the thing that I say on Lockdown Wolverines all the time is we just have to take a look at a lot of these schools because Penn State's usually the Texas A&M or the Georgia or, you know, every single year it's, well, they're really close.
Yeah.
They are really close. No, they're not. They're in the same exact boat as Michigan every right. single year. I mean, even this last year, Penn State won at Michigan. Finally, this is the first time in James Franklin's career that he's done so, by the way, but Penn State and Michigan essentially have the same record every other year.
Right.
Like one of them is always really good. And then loses to Ohio State, but Penn State always plays Ohio State tough, but then they still lose. Mm-hmm. So it's no different. Then there's Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, to me, it's like they're playing a brand of football that can win you a lot of games against the Iowas, the North. It can beat a Michigan and a Penn State here and there. Mm-hmm. They've certainly done very good against Michigan. I believe in Jim Harbaugh's 6 years that it's a 3-2 towards Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure.
So they have something that can work, but do they beat Ohio State? No. So there's always these teams that rise up in the Big Ten that look really good, but whenever Ohio State loses, it's almost never to one of the really good teams. They lost to a middling Iowa team in 2017. They lost to a bad Purdue team in 2018. When they lost to Penn State, that was Penn State's signature win that year. And this was 2 weeks after Penn State lost 49-10 to Michigan. And they won the Big Ten by virtue of Ohio State eking out a win in double overtime against Michigan. So there's not really anyone that I would look at in the Big Ten and say, you're a contemporary of Ohio State. You're not. Ohio State is the best team in the conference, and it's not even close. They're in the same category as Clemson and Alabama.
Who would you say is number two in the ACC right now? Is it Miami? Is it North Carolina? I think consistently it may be North Carolina from a program standpoint, but you and I are fairly high on Miami this year.
I mean, it's probably one of the two, but it's hard to really tell which one it is because I thought Miami had a lot better year this year than a lot of people gave them credit for. And then North Carolina, I think, kind of disappointed considering the expectations that they had. I think North Carolina is getting better. Miami's kind of in that same purgatory as Michigan and Penn State. It seems like every year or like a USC where it's like every year they get a little bit of hype.
Yeah.
And that they never really quite deliver on the promise of what they're bringing to the table. So number two would be. Obviously, if Notre Dame's in the ACC like they were this last year, it would be Notre Dame. But sure. I don't even think, even though they've made the college football playoff, I don't even think Notre Dame's that good. And I know that's going to upset a lot of people. But I don't think Notre, when I say not that good, I think that they're in a clear tier two, whereas Clemson's in a tier one. So I don't know. The ACC is kind of, it, when you look at the bottom of the conference, it's a lot of also-rans.
You're listening to Locked On College Football.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over now, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real, updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
So we got a few more minutes here on today's edition of Locked On College Football. And speaking of betonline.ag, I'm looking at the odds to win the 2022 College Football Championship on betonline.ag. Obviously, Alabama is the favorite at plus 350. Clemson's the favorite at plus 450. Tied with Georgia, plus 450. Then Ohio State at plus 650. Then Oklahoma at plus 750. And then a massive, massive drop-off. Texas A&M at plus 2,000. Iowa State at 2,500. Florida, Notre Dame, LSU, USC, North Carolina. And then it's kind of hogwashed after that. But I think it's interesting that the drop-off is after Oklahoma, not after Ohio State.
Well, yeah, I think that is interesting. But with Oklahoma, Oklahoma should have been better this year than they were. And they became formidable, finally. But they had some growing pains. And I think that that's the type of thing that, you know, with a new quarterback in Spencer Rattler, you're not having your traditional spring ball. They did have a traditional fall camp, essentially, but not being kind of taken out of your original plans, I think probably gave them some growing pains a little bit, made it so it was a little bit tougher in the early going. But they are the most consistent team outside of Ohio State and apparently Notre Dame to be able to make that college football playoff. Yeah, they get shellacked whenever they get there. But, you know, the offense has been really, really good. And I look at their defense under Alex Grinch has taken a big, big step forward. They've got some personnel. Don't know how sustainable it's going to be. But Radley Hiles going to the is that that's his name, I believe. I'm so terrible with names, so I'm always messing those up.
No, I think you're right.
But going into the transfer portal, that doesn't help. But you look at what the Sooners have. I think that you got to emerge unscathed in the Big 12, but I can see them contending, and especially if the offense can be as prolific as it has been, and the defense can at least slow down the other team, they've got a shot. So I'm not surprised by it. I think that they are the only other team that's worthy of that inclusion. Texas A&M might just be a flash in the pan. We don't know yet until we see them have some repeat results here.
I mean, they're going to be the flavor of this era of college football. I think they're going to always have a chance. And now the folks that are pro A&M and pro Jimbo, now they're able to say, like, well, they probably should have been in the college football playoff last year. If Notre Dame's name wasn't Notre Dame, like, they're probably in the college football playoff. So I think the pro A&M, the TAMU Hypers, the hype squad that is the Texas A&M fan base, they're, that's kind of going to be what they're waving their flag on. So I think, I don't know. I just think as far as maybe not winning or going to the college football playoff, but as far as winning a national championship, I think Texas A&M would be more likely to do that than Oklahoma. Just because I think if A&M gets through the SEC and it's like, hey, we're legitimate, we're A&M, everybody was either a year or 2 years early on hyping us up, but we're here now. We've arrived. We've beaten Alabama. We've beaten LSU. We were able to beat Georgia/Florida in the SEC championship game. I think they're more likely to get to that point than Oklahoma. When Oklahoma, I mean, it's the same song. It's just a different dance every year where it's like, okay, Oklahoma made it and they're going to lose in the round of four in the semifinals. And you know, that's just who they are, I think. And that may be a Big 12 problem. Maybe the elevation of Texas. We both think Texas is going to be good with Sark being there. Maybe that elevates the conference at the top to make it more competitive and more battle tested by the time they get to the playoff. But that's just kind of where I stand on that.
Here's the thing. If Texas A&M can get through the SEC, then sure. But they haven't done it since joining the SEC, really.
No question.
Except for like the very, very beginning.
But, dude, they were dang close. Dude, they were dang close last year.
But they have lost eight straight to Alabama. So it's hard for me there and say they're right there when you know, because in that's just, that'd be like saying Michigan's right there, which I can't say, right? Like, because Michigan in 2018 and Michigan in 2016 beat nearly every team on the schedule in the conference.
Right.
But they state. So they can't be right there until they get past that team. So A&M got a lot closer this year, but they still haven't gotten there. So to me, that's the big hurdle. Oklahoma at least has an easier path to get there. And then once they get there, anything goes.
Isaiah, where can people find you, buddy?
At Isaiah Hole on any social media that is at your disposal, or Locked On Wolverines.
You can check me out at Locked On Auburn, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the Twitter machine at ZBlackerby. Our colleagues throughout the Locked On Podcast Network will be back with you tomorrow right here on this podcast feed, and we'll be back on Tuesday. This is Locked On College Football.